annual cost, then BristNet's American Produce Records is for you. Updated in real time and available on demand at BristNet.com/APR and optimized for tablet and mobile, the APR Online is the place for instant access to a wealth of information on North American thoroughbreds dating back more than a century. The annual price, $275. Visit BristNet.com/APR and discover why American Produce Records has been the choice of bloodstock and racing professionals for generations and why a new generation is using APR Online.
Well, Eclipse Award winner American Pharoah, making his first start of the year, easily won the Grade II $750,000 Rebel Stakes at Oaklawn Saturday. He's on the Derby trail, and he's a son of Pioneer of the Nile. At about this time last year, another son of Pioneer of the Nile was, like American Pharoah, in the news after he easily won his first start of the year in the Grade II Holy Bull Stakes at Gulfstream. That was Cairo Prince, and he, too, was on the Derby trail. He had won the Grade II Nazareth Stakes and finished ahead, bobbing second to Anacote and the Grade II Remsen as a two-year-old, and he was a Derby favorite. Injured following the Holy Bull, Cairo Prince is standing his first season as stud after retiring with earnings of $562,000. He's a gorgeous horse, the most expensive yearling from his sire's first crop, and he's out of a stakes-winning daughter of Holy Bull from a hard-hitting stakes family. You should take a good look at Cairo Prince. He's by one of the hottest young sires in North America. It's a running family. He was a superb runner himself, and he stands at Mr. Mrs. Brereton C. Jones Airdrie Stud, $10,000 live foal. See the website at airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
Horse Tales with Ursel Ellis from the horse capital of the world, Bluegrass Country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursel Ellis.
Good morning, everyone, and we've got a kind of a full house here at the Clocker Stand this morning, and the track's fast at the training center here today. We're getting ready to get a whole bunch of works here, I think, probably. We got Chris Crow over here doing some clocking. And Jackie, you're going to have to probably stand up and help him in a few minutes.
I will. I am standing.
Never mind. Michael Blowen is here. And good morning, Michael.
Morning, Ursel.
How are you this
beautiful
morning?
Beautiful day here. Sun's out. Spring's here.
You should see Michael today. I wish I had a camera. He's came in with a tie and a coat and a jacket on.
It was dress up day today, no?
No. No, we'll call you.
Okay,
we'll call you when it's dress up day, but don't hold your breath.
I got my sneakers on.
You okay? Yeah, right.
Yeah, I know. You look great right down to your feet. Yeah.
You giving a talk at Georgetown College today?
Yes, sir.
Oh, my.
10 o'clock. Have a little brunch. Talk to some nice people. Talk about all these great old horses. It's going to be fun.
Okay. Who are you talking to? The students or?
No, I think it's a group of teachers.
Of teachers?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Oh,
there'll boy. Be a quiz, tell
there'll
me.
There'll be a quiz, yeah. My days when I used to teach school. My goodness, seems like.
Did it. You used to teach school?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. No wonder the youth.
Did
no wonder the youth.
Not surprisingly, they didn't give me tenure and I had to find another profession.
Where was this?
At Emerson College in Boston.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Taught at Boston University for a while.
Corrupting the youth of America.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
Oh, well,
dear me.
Well, that's good. So,
I'm looking forward to it. It'll be fun.
Are they Georgetown University?
Mm-hmm.
Georgetown,
I guess.
Are guests coming in for some reason? Or?
I don't know. It should be about, they said there's probably going to be about 50 or 60.
Oh. I don't know. How big a college is Georgetown?
It's pretty big. I mean, you know, it's a good-sized college, and the conference center, you know, the conference center is really a very, very nice facility.
Yeah.
You have over there. It's over by the tennis courts. It's really nice.
I don't believe I've ever been on the campus.
Yeah, you should come over. It's fun to go to one of their football games or a basketball game, too, because, you know, it's really nice and it's not so crowded.
They have both good basketball and football.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, over there, yeah. I get nervous when I get near, you know, to a higher learning organization. Having flunked out of just about everything I went to.
Do you ever have school dreams where you've got a test and you forgot all about it and you can't find
to.
A building? Yeah, I do. I still do once.
Those are nightmares.
Yeah. Law school nightmares.
Whoa. See, that's enough reason right there to drop out.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you got to be able to sleep.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
My nightmares were. I was always late for the show, you know, doing
sure.
Especially when I was doing that show every day, that 15-minute show would come on every evening.
Yeah, the results show.
Yeah. I was always, and whenever I had a nightmare, that was it. Either I couldn't find my results, or there was some reason that I couldn't get on the air, you know. And this went on for 50 years.
Oh, my goodness.
Lost a lot of sleep.
It's funny when you're doing something like that and your concentration's so high that happens.
Yeah.
I mean, Rosie Napravnik told me that you didn't realize she was under so much stress until she stopped riding horses.
Oh, is that right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Chris Crow is going to come on the show at 10. Chris is a longtime horseman. He's not as old as I am, but he's pushing me. And I like to talk to the old timers, you know. He's helping out with the clocking out here now.
Great.
And he was Herb Stevens' right arm for about a dozen years.
Oh, really? Yeah. I loved Herb. Yeah. You know, we got a lot of donations in Herb's memory when Herb passed away. It's really, yeah, he's a great guy.
Well, he's got some great stories about Herb, have known him that well and everything. And of course, Dr. Waldridge is going to come in. I called him, told him we were on early.
I'll be over here any minute.
I'm apologizing for coming on early, but we didn't know last show. We usually know in advance, you know. But we just didn't know.
Well, they move the games around all the time.
The ESPN, this is an ESPN station, is carrying a game that starts at 11.
Yeah.
This morning. So one of, not Kentucky, but, you know, one of them. I don't know if they're carrying a Kentucky game. That's a possibility.
It's been a great tournament so far.
Yeah, so far it has, yeah. Yeah. And anyway, Steve Moody, we'll get in touch with him. They're running a couple of stakes down at Gulfstream today, and he's doing that Gulfstream sheet. I see that the Keeneland Spring Condition book is out. It was just Chris just handed me one here a minute ago. Not that I'm running anything there. Last race I won before I quit training was at Keeneland, though.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of action going on over there, a lot of construction. There's a lot of people working over there getting everything ready.
Oh, I imagine. Ooh. Wow. They're running the Sabine Stakes and the Inside Information Stakes. Might do something if we've got time in the second hour on Inside Information. She was a champion handicap mare a few years back.
You know,
got Jackie's announcements, and we'll just see how it works out. I want to say a little something about Alan Jerkins' passing. I mean, the accolades that he's getting, you know, it's just unreal.
He's unbelievable. Can I tell you my one Alan Jerkins story?
Go ahead.
A couple summers ago at Saratoga, I'm on the backside handing out the Old Friends magazine, trying to interest people in retiring some horses to us or just letting them know we're available as a service. And Alan was probably about 30 yards over there sitting on his golf cart. So I decided I'm going to go over and give him a magazine. So I go, "Mr. Jerkins, you don't know me." I said, "My name is Michael. I run Old Friends." He says, yeah, you take care of those old horses, huh? I said, "Yeah." So I hand him the magazine. He's leafing through the magazine. His eyes are widening because he remembers all the horses.
Yeah.
And I said, "Oh, I remember this." When he starts telling me little stories about Ogaijin, little stories about Sunshine Forever, and, you know.
Yeah.
And it really, really good. He said, "Boy," this is really interesting. I said, "Oh, thanks." He says, "So you just have them there, right?" I said, "Yeah." So he says, "I got a couple of mares. I might want to send you. How do I do that?" So I gave him my card and I said, "Just let us know whatever you want." So I walked a ways back to where I was to my friend Nick Newman, and Alan says, "Where are you going?" I said, "We're going over to the track. To the front side for the races." And so he says, "Come on, I'll give you a ride."
Oh, okay.
So we got on the golf cart and he drove us to the front door of Saratoga Race Course.
Oh, that's neat.
And I got off the truck and I said to Nick, I turned around to Nick and I said, "You know, this is like being driven to Yankee Stadium by Babe Ruth."
Yeah.
I still remember it so vividly, and he was so kind. You know, and he was a great, great horseman, and, you know, he just loved those horses. I never saw him on the front side at the races. I never saw him in the clubhouse ever.
Yeah.
Or in that side of the track. He was, but you always saw him at the barn. Always at the barn. I think, you know, he was so much more comfortable there, I think, than in any of the other spots.
Yeah.
You know, also in the same issue of the Racing Form, Steve Crist did a wonderful piece on Ogaijin, a wonderful horse that we lost.
That.
Yeah, he did a great job.
That was yesterday's, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Friday's edition.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is Saturday's. I don't know. It might be in here.
I think it's in Saturday's.
But it could be. I read it. It was very good.
Yeah.
He didn't race long, did he? Yeah, but he was brilliant.
He was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Peggy Whittingham, Charlie Whittingham's widow, came to the farm, and I was showing her around a few years ago, and she looked at Ogaijin. She goes, "Is that Ogaijin?" I go, "Yes, ma'am." She goes, "Charlie told me he wasn't going to bring Ferdinand to the Derby if that horse was entered."
Is that right? Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, he was. You talk to people at the time, and Russ Harris, the longtime racing writer for the New York Daily News, told me that he was the best horse he ever saw.
Yeah.
And he was a fabulous addition to Old Friends. I mean, you know, he was 3 days short of his actual 32nd birthday.
Yeah. Wow.
And he was just tough as nails. And Dr. Waldridge was there, and that was really, and all of his friends, Beth, and all of the people that were that really adored this horse were all around him when we had to euthanize him. So that was the best part of a bad day.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Well, when I met Alan in 1978, he brought Sensitive Prince down to run, getting him ready for the Derby, which he ran sixth in. I remember that. I don't know where he ran or if he ran in the blue, but I think it was the bluegrass he ran in. Anyway, came down to Keeneland, and several years earlier, I had bought a mare, paid $5,500 for her, and foaled her an unknown stud because I was looking for four or five mares that were hard-hitting race mares, you know.
Yeah.
And just thinking that you could buy cheap because they didn't have a whole lot of pedigree, but they were runners.
Yeah.
And this little mare was, she was a carryback mare named Duck Out the Door. And it turned out Alan had trained her. And he came, I was working for the Racing Form out of Keeneland at that time. And he came in the office wanting to see her. So I took him over there, and we got to be pretty good friends. I bought those kind of mares because I thought, well, they were hard-hitting, tough mares. It would probably throw those kind of horses. And it turned out that was true with her. Although she was small, she was like most of the carrybacks. But anyway, I met him then. He came back down a couple of years later. I forget what it was. And he came out to the farm. And I had a filly out there that I was getting ready to sell. I always had to sell them, you know, but she was by Piggle Piggle, who was an Australian champion that Bull Hancock had imported. He liked her and bought her and took her up east and won stakes with her, you know, which was helping my hair no end because I probably would have broke her maiden in Riverdale, so that'd been about it, you know, if I trained her.
No, I don't know.
But she was a nice mare. And but anyway, Alan was he loved his horses. He came out of now that little mare, that little carryback mare, she had never won a stakes or anything. She was an allowance mare. She ran him in a couple. He ran him in a couple. Her in a couple of stakes, and he took up to Canada and won. Ran fourth in the stakes up there. But she, you know, she was tough. She was game, and she ended up throwing those kind of horses for me.
That's really great. Well, you know, the reason Alan never won a Triple Crown race, I think, is that he was so patient with his horses. A lot of them didn't peak until they were 4, 5, 6 years old.
Yeah,
and he had them for a long, long time. He and his wife.
Well, he's one of a kind, and he loved his horses. I know that.
Well, he'll be missed. I mean, he's just added so much to horse racing in terms of class and quality, and a great guy. All right, Ursula, I'm going to go get my little talk.
Oh, okay. You're leaving me now?
Yeah, Dr. Waldridge should be right here.
That's okay.
He's right behind me. I know.
Is he? All right.
Oh yeah, here he comes right up the hill.
Oh, good. Well, he'll be here by the time I do these commercials.
Go Cats.
Well, Horace Greeley has never missed. Horace Greeley has never missed. He's sired major stakes winners in each of his first three crops of racing age. First year was Clearly Now and Really Mr. Greeley. Clearly Now won the 2014 running of the Grade 3 Belmont Sprint Championship, following wins in the Grade 2 Swale and the Grade 3 Bull Ruler. And he's placed in 8 more stakes, 6 graded, among them last year's Grade 1 Carter. He also set a new track record at Belmont, going 7 furlongs and won 19-4. And he earned over $889,000. Really, Mr. Greeley won the Grade 3 Hollywood Preview Stakes. Next, Go Greeley earned a Southern Award as a champion 2-year-old male in Canada. He's won 3 stakes and placed in 3 more and has earned over $400,000. Then, listed among Horse Greeley's 2014 2-year-old winners was Leave the Light On, winner of the Grade 2 Remsen. Horse Greeley, winner of the now Grade 1 Del Mar Fortuity, is by Mr. Greeley. Out of a Stormcat, Marinette stands for $2,500 due on the foal stands and nurses. Show me another sire with a comparative record at stud standing for $2,500. So give Bernie Sams a call over at Claiborne Farm, 859-233-4252, and see the website at claibornefarm.com. All righty. Well, you know, it's a good feeling to do business with people that you trust, especially when it comes to insurance. And when we moved in Bourbon County, and that's been 27 years ago, we asked friends down. We wanted to do business with local people, and we had some good friends down there and said, who should we contact to take, you know, do our insurance business with us? And every one of them said the Hopewell Company. And as I said, they've been taking care of our Hopewell Company. They've been taking care of our insurance need ever since. They have extensive experience working with horse farms and racing stables. They cover our home, our barn, our vehicles, our horse trailer, liability. They've been right there whenever we needed them, without fail. And Hopewell Company, it's an independent insurance agency, and that's important because they work for us and not insurance companies. They're able to offer the best coverage and the most competitive prices from financial sound, reputable insurers. So I would recommend highly that you get in touch with either Ted McLean or Joe McLean over at Hopewell. The number here's, I'll give you a Lexington number. It's 859-254-2431. And they'll provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. Great people to do business with. They're at 820 South Main Street in Paris. So go to them. You'll get great service. I will guarantee it. Two other outfits over in Bourbon County that you should remember and should know. That's the Clayward Agency. Now, they're in Clayward Agency's insurance agency, too, but they specialize in horse insurance. And they were founded back in 1931 by James Clay Ward, and they've been providing the finest in equine insurance for over 80 years now. Success was based on hard work and dedication, attention to detail, and great service, and a thorough knowledge of the horse business, and those qualities are carried on today. So whatever your insurance needs, if it pertains to the thoroughbred, the pros over at the Clay Ward Agency are positioned to supply the best coverage at the best price available. So give Shaq Parrish or Bruce Isaacs a call, or John Hess, number over 859-987-1861, and their office is at 1102 on Main Street in Paris, Kentucky. Now, they're closely affiliated with Indian Creek Farm. That's a farm you should know, especially if you sell at public auctions. Anywhere in especially eastern part of the United States, Saratoga, Keeneland, Fazy, Tipton, you name it. And talk about the services that are available over there. It's a great place to board your horses. And many of the major stakes winners, and both here and abroad, first saw the light of day right there at Indian Creek Farm. Great place. Nice, beautiful farm. If you haven't seen it, it's worth going over there just to talk to it. So who you need to get in touch with there is either Shaq Parrish or Nikki Dryan at 987-7443 in Bourbon County. All righty. Good morning.
Morning. How are you?
All right, Brian. Dr. Brian Waldridge is here with us this morning. Got rid of Michael early this morning.
Well, he was all dressed up, and I saw the limousine out there. I thought he was going to get
in that. I almost fainted when he walked in here with a tie on. Good Lord.
Mercy. I did too. I thought he was going to sell me something. It scared me.
Yeah, that... Or hit you up for some money anyway.
Yeah, good luck.
Good luck there. Well, you had to put old Agajan down. He was talking about him as a
We did. It was a tough night.
Yeah.
A week ago. But we did that.
And 32 years old.
32. And, you know, I don't know if Michael said he was, 2 days from his official birthday, too.
Is that right?
His birthday was St. Patty's Day.
Oh, my goodness.
So we almost got him all the way to the birthday.
Yeah. Well, gee whiz, it's kind of sad, isn't it? He lost one eye, but he was that way when you all got him, wasn't he?
He was. I think that was I think Michael told me that was a breeding shed accident that cost him that eye.
Is that right?
So he came that way. And we had kept weight on him real well this past year, and we kept changing a few things on his diet, got him really nice with that, so we're really happy with him. But the colic, he just never got pain-free. You know, he after I first treated him, he went to eating a little bit of grass. He went back to his feed tub. And I thought, well, I'm just going to watch him a little longer and make sure everything goes all right. But then he just kept colicking, and we couldn't get him comfortable.
Yeah. Oh, gee, well, 32, that's pretty good. How in the world you lose an eye in a breeding shed?
I'd heard somebody hit him in the eye with a shank somewhere. He's bad. He got a shank. I had to ask Michael if that's for sure true. But I think he somehow got a shank to the eye, or got it caught on his halter or something.
Good Lord have mercy. Yeah, that's an odd place to lose an eye.
Right. Yeah, that's one of the few things you don't worry about.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Well, there was a nice horse around here, and I won't say where it was or anything, but a real nice stud horse that got hung up in a bucket. Severed a tendon, they had to put him down.
Yeah,
a few years back.
When I was at Auburn once, we had it wasn't a horse case I had, but somebody had an old toilet out in their pasture for some reason. And this horse had kicked the old toilet and severed all of its tendons in the back leg.
What in the world? Where was this?
This was in Alabama. So yeah.
Are they accustomed to putting toilets in the back?
I don't know. I did have one time that people and this is in Alabama too, that people had for some reason had an old ice cream truck in their pasture, and the horse walked into it and fell through the floor of the ice cream truck and got itself up. None of them were terrible, but it took a long time to sew it back together.
Oh my Lord.
So I've only had an ice cream truck pasture injury.
They raise them a little different down in Alabama.
Yeah, it has to be a little hardier. Yeah, quite a few obstacles.
Yeah. Well, what's going on?
Well, there's a new equine vaccine that's just came out. I thought it'd be worth talking about because people may see the ads, and it's for pigeon fever. And
now you're going to have to describe me what pigeon fever is.
Well, it has nothing to do with pigeons, so that's the thing to remember. What happens is it's a disease in the more in the Southwest, from about California over to Texas and all the Four Corner states. And the reason it's called pigeon fever, it's a bacteria. It's called a Cryobacterium pseudotuberculosis. So if anybody's raised goats, goats get those. It's called caseous lymphadenitis. So they get lymph nodes that get abscesses in them. It's the same organism. But in horses, it causes abscess, usually on the bottom part of the horse, and they'll get it in their brisket. So they get a big swelling in there. And so they'll call it pigeon fever because they kind of swell out in their breast, you know, pigeon chested. And so that's why they call it pigeon fever. So it has nothing to do with pigeons.
Okay.
Because I always worry because you talk about something like that, and then, you know, somebody's out shooting more pigeons the next day. So, but you don't have to kill pigeons for it. But it's becoming more where it's in other areas. Like I've only seen one case, but it was a horse in Kentucky last year, and that horse had spent, I think
in Central Kentucky here?
In Central Kentucky. But he'd spent about 4 months in Florida. And so there have been a few cases in Florida. And there's been a few cases here. But you know, people don't know if they go to the area where the disease is more common and they get pick it up. Or, you know, if with global warming, if that means, you know, it's more widespread. But it is becoming more common in other areas. But it causes these abscesses, and they can have internal abscesses, like in their lungs or in their spleen, things like that, in a body cavity. But most all horses get abscess externally, kind of on the bottom part of their body, and then you drain that abscess, and the disease is cured because you put them on some antibiotics. But those internal abscesses can be really serious, and it's spread by flies, because biting flies or flies that just feed on a draining abscess and spread it to another horse. But the vaccine's out, and it's what's called a conditional vaccine. So that means drug company's already done some studies on it, make sure it's safe, make sure that you can expect it to work. But because there's kind of a need for it, it can be released a bit early. And that's how West Nile virus vaccine started, too.
Is that right?
So that's how that came to us. So it's out, and, you know, so there's been some preliminary studies, but really it's kind of a fast track for that vaccine. So
before this vaccine, how did you treat it?
If they're external abscesses, you just drain that abscess, and generally just draining that abscess takes care of it. You don't always even have to put them on antibiotics. And then you ultrasound them, make sure there's not anything in their chest, any abscesses or fluid in their chest or their abdomen, because then it may make you have to put them on antibiotics longer. There's also a blood test you can do to look for antibody. You know, the higher the antibody, the more serious the infection generally is.
Yeah.
But they're pretty much the people like in Colorado and out west. So if they're used enough to seeing it, they see a horse with it, they'll drain those abscesses, put them in a pasture by themselves for a while, let that resolve.
And that takes care of it.
Usually takes care of it.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's a vaccine that.
You Who know, developed this vaccine?
I believe it's Zoetis was the company that has that. Which used to be Fort Dodge.
Oh, okay.
So they've come out with, I believe this is Zoetis vaccine. So if anybody's listening, I said that wrong, forgive me. But it's, so it's come out, and it's not something here. You know, talk to your veterinarian, but it's probably not something horses that stay in central Kentucky would necessarily have to have. But if you're going to ship a horse out to one of the states, one of the states where it's real common, be worth thinking about.
And Florida, California.
Florida, California. So California is a big state for it, for sure. But there are more cases of Florida. The organism likes dry conditions, like kind of drought conditions. Yeah. So the hotter states and drier states.
Well, you would think Arizona, yes, New Mexico. You
know, all those four corner states where they like it, all across the Southwest.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's interesting.
Yeah, so it's out there. So if you hear about it, you know, talk to your vet. Find out if it's something you need.
Okay. But you really don't find it here very often.
Not very often. You know, when I had that horse last year, I called the state diagnostic lab to ask them if they'd seen very many cases to see if they ran that blood test, too. But their microbiology lab's really good at growing the bacteria, so they were real interested in getting a sample of it, mm-hmm. you know, to see if they could grow it, to see if that was the organism. So I sent it to them, and they isolated it straight away. They did a really good job.
Mm-hmm.
Because they kind of wanted to see if they could find it. You know, it was a challenge, and they sure found it for me.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Good to know about something like that.
Yes, sir. It's becoming more, you know, you see more articles on it in the magazines. And yeah. Now we've got something that might
You have to stay right on top of it. How many of those magazines do you take anyway? Everything?
I used to take a lot more. I guess I get about five, but I don't read them like I used to. Just don't have the time.
What do you mean you don't have time? You got time to come here, see?
Well, see, I make time to come here. This is fun.
Okay. Well, thank you. It's fun having you here.
No, it's a great time. So, and it's one of those diseases you have to keep at the back of your mind, too, because you know, I think we'll start seeing
everything's the back of my mind right. These days.
Because
fading fast.
that horse I saw with it, I said, well, I could only know this to be pigeon fever because the horse had a big swelling right in his on his brisket there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I said, I only know this to be one thing, unless it's a kick, that'd be pigeon fever.
Well, you'd obviously seen it somewhere else.
Well, I'd seen a picture in a book. I mean, that was the only time I'd seen it.
Is that right? Yeah. Well, that's pretty good diagnosis.
Good book. But yeah, I'll have to show you the picture.
Well, that works. I'm going to have to start subscribing to Playboy or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I hope my wife's listening.
That's one of your subscriptions.
Oh, no. Yeah, somehow it always gets lost in the mail if I did subscribe.
There you go. All right, I've got to take a break here. Thank you, Doc. I appreciate that.
Oh, you're welcome.
Well, to sign an Eclipse Award winner in your first crop is quite an achievement, one certain to get the attention of breeders. That's exactly what First Defense did, and results were just what you would expect. The mare's booked to him over the next few seasons. Read like a who's who in racing. Graded stakes winners, graded stakes producers. Great support, not only from Judmont Farm, where he stands at stud, but from many outside breeders. Close Hatch has earned her Eclipse Award by winning the 2014 runnings of the Grade 1 Ogden Phipps, the Grade 1 Apple Blossom, and the Grade 1 Personal Ensign. Upon her retirement, she'd won 7 graded stakes, 5 Grade 1, and had earned $2,707,300. Other runners by First Defense, the Catch the Eye breeders, have been Group Stakes winner Dundonnell, 2014 Stakes winner Privet Hedge, 2014 Stakes winner Pistols Drawn, 2014 Stakes winner Irish Jasper. That's a 2-year-old, plus another promising 2-year-old in Tamburlaine, second in Group Stakes in both England and Ireland, expecting a lot from him this year, plus such quality stakes horses as New Line, Kazuri, Beach Hut, Smoking in the Boys Room. Grade 1 stakes winner, First Defense, by Unbridled Song. Out of Grade 1 winner, Honest Lady, a half-sister by Seattle Slew to Empire Maker, stands for $10,000, live foal, and he stands at Dudmont Farm. So give Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry a call. 859-272-7629 and see the website at Dudmont.com. Jackie, you got time? No, I'll do this.
Oh, yeah.
You want to do something? You leaving me, Doc?
Oh, yes, sir. I'm going to go get straws.
Okay. Get straw?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, you better get out your wallet.
Yeah, that's what I got to do, too.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks. Well, thanks for coming.
Thanks.
All right. That's Dr. Brian Walridge.
Okay.
Does our weekly vet segment.
Yeah, that was very interesting.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, he is good. Okay. Sally Van Service, and they're good, has been in business for some 60 years. During that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack have been entrusted to their care. And they learn a lot along the way. Pretty obvious, their vehicles and equipment have to be in tip-top shape, but the single most important safety factor is the ability and experience of the person behind the wheel. They're extremely proud of their drivers at Sally Van. They're experienced drivers and experienced horsemen, and that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse onto a Sally Van, you can depend on the fact the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. Sally Van wouldn't have it any other way. In fact, back when we were breeding, sometimes we just sent them on. You know, something else was, yeah, busy. So Sally Van wouldn't have it any other way, and that's why for more than half a century, Sally Van's been the safest way to the winner's circle. 255-9640. Oh, they can do a great job on your diesel truck and on your rig. They will service it for you. They know what they're doing. Website is sallyhorsevans.com.
Well, AP Indy Unbridled, Sunday Silence, Elite Sires. They've won both the Breeders' Cup Classic and a Triple Crown race. My feat also accomplished by Drosselmeyer. In fact, only Drosselmeyer and AP Indy won both the Belmont Stakes and the Breeders' Cup Classic. And that's a feat Drosselmeyer to be rated number one in the world in the dirt that led for him to be rated number one in the world on the dirt by World Thoroughbred Rankings. Drosselmeyer, a $600,000 sales yearling, lived up to his superb confirmation and pedigree. He was quite a runner, the most accomplished among the 128 stakes winners by champion sire Distorted Humor, his stablemate at Windstar, and the sire of Hoops of Color, winner March 15 of the Grade 2 Santa Ana Stakes. So Drosselmeyer's female family is also loaded with class. In fact, his dam won 4 graded stakes, 2 grade 1, and earned over $732,000. The first foals by Drosselmeyer will race this year. His yearlings averaged right at 64,000 in 2014, and he covered 118 mares just last year. Got the numbers going for him. Drosselmeyer stands for $15,000, payable when a foal stands and nurses at Windstar Farm. Inquiries to Darren Fox, Sean Tugel, or Kyle Wilson, 859-873-1717. See the website, windstarfarm.com. Well, while you're doing that,
okay,
I will do stakes winners from last weekend that were sold in Kentucky and give you the breeders of those stakes winners. And it's the compliments of the Kentucky Thoroughbred Association over there. That's Chauncey Morris running that now. And let's start with the Grade 2 Rebel Stakes, American Pharoah. And boy, was he impressive. He is number one on the Derby Watch now. Both the Derby Watch and the Racing Form has got him, and the Blood Horses top 10 in there got him on top there. Right? Both of them got him, American Pharoah and Dortmund ranked 2 and 3. Well, American Pharoah won it by 6 1/4 lengths. And here's by Pioneer of the Nile, who stands at Windstar Farm. And he was bred by the Zayat Stables, raised over at Vinery, incidentally. Led all the way, won just as he pleased, as a matter of fact. So, remains to be seen. He's going next, of course, in the $1 million Arkansas Derby. The Grade 2 Santa Ana Stakes, a Hoop of Color won that. and by another Windstar Stallion, Distorted Humor. I think that's his 128. That might have been his 128 stakes winner, bred by Flaxman Holdings. Gold Medal Dancer. Won the Grade Two Azari Stakes at Oaklawn Park, and he was bred, and his own she was bred. I said, 5-year-old mare by Medaglia d'Oro, bred and owned by Pin Oak Stud, and an upset winner over Untappable, who went on went at 10 cents on the dollar. I didn't. I made a remark last week that I didn't think that anything could touch her in that race, but by golly, I'm wrong again. That tells you a little bit something about my handicapping, doesn't it? The Grade 2, Grade 3 Razorback handicap at Oaklawn went to race day. That's a tappet. Bred by Mr. James Miller. The Correction Handicap, named after the grand old mare, by that name, the $100,000 stakes race up at Aqueduct, went to Mamduha. This is a daughter, a 4-year-old filly by DeHare. Stands over at Shadwell Farm. She's bred by Shadwell Farm, owned by Shadwell Farm. And she came from off the pace, won by Head and Beat Expression, a mare by Invisar, who also stands over at Shadwell. So the Shadwell studs went 1-2 heads and heads apart. Of course, Expression has won stakes in New York also. And placed in, I think it's the third stakes place in this year already. And those are, I love to have those two. I really like DeHare. I think it's a horse that can get you a runner, got a real good average earnings index, really moves his mares up. The Bogota Stakes at Delta Downs went to Bellamon by Magna Graduate, bred by John Phillips over at Darby Dan. Aqueduct Cicada Stakes. Cicada, the daughter of Brian G, that won stakes. Oh, she was a champion filly from the Meadow Stud. And Noble and Beauty won this. Noble and a Beauty, a filly by Noble Causeway, bred by my Meadowview. The Any Limit Stakes at Gulfstream Park was won by Taylor S. Taylor S by another Medaglia d'Oro, incidentally, bred by the Allbow Family Stables. The Tempe Handicap at Turf Paradise winner, Ride Hard Cowboy, by Kodiak Cowboy, was bred by Indian Creek over in Bourbon County. Congratulations, Shaq. The Scottsdale Handicap at Turf Paradise, Stars Woman won that. That's an elusive quality, bred by Keen Ridge Farm in partnership with Dolly. Then on Wednesday, they ran a stakes down at Gulfstream Park called the Captiva Stakes. And the winner of that was Free as a Bird, a 6-year-old mare. She is by Hard Spun. Well, she came. She was ninth at the eighth pole and won by half a length. How about that? Elizabeth Jones Volando bred her. So field of 11 there. And she came. She broke dead last. I wonder how far. I don't have time to count the lengths there, but she was way back at the eighth pole. So that was an impressive win for her. Well, last Saturday at Aqueduct, progeny of Shadwell Stallions finished 1-2 in the $100,000 Correction Stakes when Mamduha, a 4-year-old filly by DeHare, narrowly defeated Expression, the daughter of Invisor. Mamduha, bred and owned by Shadwell Farm and trained by Kieran McLaughlin, won by Head over Expression, bred by Stone Farm and Joseph W. Sutton, and trained by Charlton Baker. Mamduha has won 5 in a row now, 5 or 6 starts with 1 second, and she's earned over $290,000. The Correction was her third straight stakes win, following scores in the Gin Talking Stakes at Laurel and the Ruthless Stakes at Aqueduct. Expression, in her last start of 2014, won Aqueduct's $100,000 Garland of Roses Stakes, and since then she has placed in 3 more stakes, the $100,000 Innerbar at Aqueduct, the Grade 2 Barbara Fritchie at Laurel, and then the Correction. She's accumulated earnings of over $424,000. Grade 1 winner DeHare by Awesome Again and Hall of Fame Invisor are both proven sires of graded stakes winners. And for more information about fees and whatever, call Stallion Manager Kent Barnes over at Shadwell Farm. Number 859-224-4585, and see the website at shadwellfarm.com. Hey, Jackie.
Yeah.
You were going to do something for Quill and Tack over there? Are you ready?
We got a. I called the store to see if they were doing anything at Rooster Brew tonight, but she didn't know. But we got Russie's emailing Ralph. He's got email on his phone, so okay. She's going to do that. But in the meantime, let's talk about Quillen Leather and Tack. You know they can do anything with leather, and you'll see my purse. See here, torn. See, and it's a leather purse, and I really like it.
Well, you stuff those things. It's no wonder it's torn.
Well, I can't help
that. You carry everything in there but the kitchen sink.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you might never know when you need a kitchen sink. So, anyway, I'm going to take that over. But they, full halters, mare straps, everything you need with breeding season going on big time, they've got it. And if you order a certain amount, you can have it shipped, and it will, you know, give you a good deal on the shipping. So they've also got, of course, always halters, name plates, shanks. They got stallion shanks. They got 11-foot, 12-foot. You can have any you want. Wait a minute, I'm going to
Is that nice?
I'm be doggone. They've got flat collars and round collars for your puppy. They can make you a leather leash. They got stall plates. They got full discs, as a matter of fact, if you want to go that way. They of course, work belts, all kind of beautiful belts for men, and you get your nameplate put on there, and then if you get lost somewhere, somebody knows who you are, and they can take you home. They've also got checkbook covers, if you incline. And they have, for girls, for little girls especially, they have pink leather. They have blue leather, and they have regular and green, and then regular color. So they've got everything in the world. They've got a gift shop. It's a fun place just to go visit. That's Quillen, Quillin.com. They've got an 800 number now, 800-729-0592.
And Rooster Brew, are you talking about?
Yeah, Rooster Brew's downtown. It's Ralph's
in Birmingham, Paris.
Yeah, downtown Paris. They brew their own, and last night they had some wonderful food. He always puts up what they do on Thursday and Friday, and then
too late for the show.
Too late for the show for Thursday and Friday. But they had some kind of Cajun something or another last night. They had the menu online. It was
and entertainment every night. But it's a fun place to go.
SRO they had last night.
Well, more than ready aside some 140 stakes winners. Over 60 of them graded or group stakes winners. 18 grade one winners. Staking his claim as the best of them all is Verrazano. A multiple grade one winner of over $1,800,000. Verrazano posted the highest buy figure of any three-year-old in 2013. Fact is, over a five-year period from 2009 through 2014, only Uncle Mo, Verrazano's stablemate at Ashford Stud, registered a faster buyer. He won the grade one Haskell Invitational by nearly 10 lengths, the widest winning margin in the history of that grade one event, leaving the likes of Oxbow in his wake. He won the Grade 1 Wood Memorial, a race won in the past by Tappet, Empire Maker, Unbridled Song, Seattle Sleuth, and others went on to become top sires. He won the Grade 2 Tampa Bay Derby by 3, the Grade 3 Pegasus by 9.25, and an allowance test by over 16, all that after breaking his maiden by 8, then sent abroad. He placed in 3 starts over there. He ran placed in 2 Group 1 stakes. On the grass, and he could, dirt grass didn't make much difference to Verrazano. One or two graded stakes winners out of a Daughter of Giants Causeway from a fantastic family. Verrazano stands for $22,500, doing a full stands in nurses. So call Ashford Stud. Give him a call. Here's the number, 859-873-7088, and see the website at coolmore.com. All righty. Where am I? Did I finish my cool more? Yeah, okay, we're in pretty good shape. Let's see what I can do over here. Oh, I didn't give you the winners from the Thoroughbred Center. Hadn't been too many this week for some reason. Dale Loveland saddled a winner at Turfway. So did Scooter Hughes. Scooter got his last night. And then Juan Ruvacaba went up to Mahoning Valley. I can never remember the name of that. The old Beulah Park.
Oh, Beulah.
Yeah, but except they moved it.
Yeah, whatever. That's like River Downs flooded, and they said Belterra flooded.
Yeah, where the heck is Belterra?
Yeah. That's, yeah, never heard of it. Sounds like something in Vegas, baby.
Yeah, anyway, he took tourist trap up there and won a race on the 16th. So, Laura Bielma, Guillermo Rangel, Tommy Mills, Matt Frazier, Tommy Short, Marco Castaneda, Travis Short, another one, Larry Lay, Dale Loveland, Tommy Mills, Dale Loveland, another one, Juan Rubalcaba, and last night, Scooter Hughes. They have saddle winners this month at Turfway Park. I want to say, I didn't get really to finish talking about Alan Jerkins, and I got to talking about that little mare that I had bought from him. And he was so interested in her that he wanted to go see her. I'd drive him out to the farm, take a look at her. And anyway, he is some of his grade one winners, you know. He never saddled a Derby winner or a Breeders' Cup winner or anything like that. Very seldom left New York. He would come to Kentucky, and later on he would go to Florida. But some of the mares, he saddled a whole bunch of grade one winners. Of course, he was noted for beating the likes of Secretariat with two different horses. That was enough to get him into the Hall of Fame. That was in 1973. Kind of had Secretariat's number. For some reason or another, I don't know why. He also saddled a horse, I think he saddled something to beat Buck Passer. And he beat Kelso with Bo Purple. I think he beat Kelso three times with Bo Purple. And just remarkable things that he did. So he was, and you know, was always he taught, was a leading trainer. I'm a leading trainer in New York. One, two, three, four times, and elected to the Hall of Fame when he was 45 years old. He was the youngest trainer ever elected to the Hall of Fame. He was a horseman's horseman. And he was a nice guy, and he will certainly be missed. They had a ceremony for him down at Gulfstream Park just the other day. So, anyway, that was Mr. Alan Jerkins. Jackie, you want to if you stop talking over there.
Oh, yeah, but he's got lots of good stories. That's a good one. I like
Well,
that.
I mean, he's old enough to know a lot of lies.
They're entertaining, I must say. What do you want, my announcements?
Yeah, I do your announcements here. Well, let me see.
Let me see.
Well, go ahead, and then I'll have to interrupt you.
What's new? Okay, the Horses Work Keep Foundation has a license plate featuring Seattle Slough. Cost you $25 to reserve one.
It's a Tony Leonard.
Yeah, it's a Tony Leonard head of
Seattle Slough.
Seattle Slough. It's a good one.
It's the first time.
Yeah. Seattle Slough had those pale eyes with that kind of yellow look in them or whatever it was. What do you call it?
Amber color eyes.
Amber color. And it was hard to get a good picture of amber colored eyes. They just always looked a little hard or something.
Yeah.
And this one, his eyes look real soft.
Yeah.
I like that picture. It's. I think it's the best of Seattle Slough I've ever seen on the Town of the Eyes.
I believe so, too.
Yeah. Okay, so it's $25 a plate. And you can go to www.thekeepfoundation.org.
Find out how to do it.
It's we got to get our licenses renewed this month. So I don't know how you do that. I don't know what you do if you want to do that. So anyway.
Go to courthouse.
Yeah, go to the courthouse and ask them what to do.
Hey, that goes Jamie Bruin. Tell him it's time to shave that beard.
Yeah, it's warming up.
Yeah.
Okay, TRF, Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation, is having a 7th annual hay drive. The goal is to raise the funds necessary for their TRF hay budget. It's $220,000. They say they eat 22 pounds. Well, that's about right, 22 pounds of hay a day, and it's important. So, if you want to... What's the best way to do it is to Google Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation and see if you want to help. That'd be a good deal. Let's see. April 18th and April 19th is the Masterson Equestrian Trust Benefit Hunter Jumper Show, of course, out at Masterson. We'll love that place. Hunters, of course, on Saturday starts at 8. And Sunday, 8:30, are jumpers. You know what? They used to have stuff for old people. They used to have over 65 or something. I don't see any. I'm going to have to call Nori Scheffel and say, you know, I'm not coming and sitting there with a bunch of six-year-olds ride better than me. And that's the truth. Charlestown Race Course is going to support Canner for the eighth consecutive year. Canner Mid-Atlantic will get funding from Hollywood Casino at Charlestown. They're going to get a $10,000 check. Canner's a good one. Canner is the one that if you are a if you're a trainer on a racetrack and you got something that you just can't, you know, I mean, it's either not going to pay you to keep it in training and you'd like to get it a decent home, they will help you sell your horse. And they will, I think it's like the minimum is 500, something like that. Oh, the horse park is now open 7 days a week. They're on summer hours. Snowbird is every Wednesday, 8 to 5, in the covered arena. That's dressage at the horse park. That's a good thing. Let's see. March today is Mid-South Pony Club at the horse park. They have their annual, what do they call those things? I forget. But anyway, it's a lot of fun. If you've got a horse crazy child, take them to this. Just go out there to the covered arena and let them look. It's really fun. Next weekend is the Paul Frazier Memorial Combined Test and Dressage Competition. It means spring is here. It's a lot of fun. It's a good thing. It's benefits the Central Kentucky Riding for Hope, which is, of course, a wonderful thing. They're starting to get bigger horses, and they're using for veterans who are, got problems, handicapped veterans. Saturday, April 4th is at the horse park, 8 a.m. to Sunday, 5 p.m., April 5th, Hunter Jumper Complex, Spring Bay Horse Trials. It's the first United States Equestrian Federation competition in the area for New Year for riders from novice to preliminary, and horses that may be new to the sport of eventing. A lot of fun. Call Mary Fike, 621-2479, or you can always call the horse park.
Well, Wilburn has covered full books of quality mares ever since he was retired, 122 just last year, and his first foals are two-year-olds. Wilburn stands at Spendthrift Farm, and it's likely that he will follow the example set by his stablemates there. Into Mischief, Line of David, Temple City, Warriors of War, all sires of major stakes winners in their first crops to race. Wilburn has all the tools. He was a runner. Broke his maiden first time out at Santa Anita. Won in top company at Churchill, Monmouth Park. Won the Grade II Indiana Derby by nearly 5 lengths, defeating winners of the Preakness and also the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. He won the $300,000 Smarty Jones Stakes. Won 5 of his first 8 starts, with all 5 coming at different tracks. And he earned $586,515. His sire stands for $85,000. His dam won graded stakes and has produced 2 graded stakes winners. The family's packed with major stakes winners, and his first crop yearling sold for up to $120,000. Kim Ramsey bought one, and as you know, Ken doesn't make a whole lot of mistakes. Wilburn stands for $6,500, due in a full stands and nurses, and when you talk to Des Dempsey or Brian Lyle or Mark Toothacker, be sure to ask about breeding incentives. The phone number is 859-294-0030, and the website SpendthriftFarm.com. I want to talk a little bit about a couple of products that I happen to believe in, Lubricin and Reborn. Both were developed by one of the nation's top vets, Dr. Steve Alday, and both are endorsed by many owners and trainers and veterinarians, and both, incidentally, are all natural, so you don't have to worry about the spit box. They're all natural products. Lubricin, to put it simply, sustains the integrity of joint fluid and it can help reduce the need for costly acid injections and things like that. A lot of top horses, a lot of top trainers, and a lot of top horses have run on it. Some of those horses, well, let's see, Golden Axe and Wise Dan ran on it, and Palace Malice. And both, you know, they're run on both products as far as that goes. And some of the trainers that are using it are Todd Pletcher and Tony Dutrow and Jerry Hollendorfer and Mike Maker. That's just to mention a few of them. They have it for humans, Lubricin, too, and I use it. And it helps me get around. Reborn is a 100% sterile, old, concentrated, natural bovine colostrum. Safe, easy to use as a supplement for horses of all ages, starting with foals, and it strengthens the foal's immune system immensely while it's nursing on the mare because of its high concentration of growth factors and antibodies. Actually, it supports immune functions in horses of all ages and provides a quicker recovery from physical challenges. It's just what you need, especially with foals and colostrum in a short demand, a short supply around here. Here's how you find out more about them. Go to the websites, lubricin.com, lubricin.com, reborn.com, reborne.com, or you can go to KBC here in town, Lexington, or Horse Sense down in Versailles, and they settle it. Or give them a call at 800 number 901-9498. That's Lubricin and Reborn. Well, the start of Yuma was represented by his 128 stakes winner, 55th graded stakes winner, when Hoop of Color won the Grade 2 Santa Ana Stakes last Sunday. There are 128 good reasons why his stud fees climbed to $100,000. Alternation is a graded stakes winner by Distorted Humor. In fact, he won graded stakes at Belmont, graded stakes at Pimlico, two graded stakes at Oaklawn, and he earned more than $1 million. He was a flat runner. So was his dam, Alternate, a daughter of Seattle Slough that won a place in 10 stakes, 5 graded, and earned over $550,000. And this is a female family of the highly successful South Broken Vow. And incidentally, Broken Vow had session-topping $950,000 two-year-old at the just-concluded OBS March sale down in Florida. Must have looked really good. Now, add the fact that Alternation is a superb individual and that his first foals arriving this year are also superb individuals, and you have the complete picture. He stands for a fee of $7,500 doing a full stand of nurses, and his book was full in his first season at stud. And here's an added incentive. The breeder of any two-year-old maiden special winner from the first three crops by Alternation will receive 10% of the winner's purse. Call Clifford Berry and Nancy Stevens at 859-873-1420 and see the website at pinoakstud.com. All right, Jackie, if you want to finish out your stuff.
Okay, today, very important, it's the 32nd annual Fayette County Farm Bureau Machinery Consignment Auction. You need a piece of equipment, you need to get yourself over there because it started at 9:30. It's at the Horse Park main entrance. You can't miss it. It's $5 to park, charged by the Horse Park. All types of farm equipment, lawn and garden equipment. It's great. Oh, I love to go over there. It's like going to Eads Hardware or something. You know, they have the neatest stuff. No fuel tanks, tobacco sticks, camper tops, or junk. So take
that. That eliminates us.
That's it.
Got lots of junk.
We're ruled off.
No tobacco sticks, but a lot of junk.
A lot of junk. Next, what is it? Tuesday, March the 24th, starts the Lexington Keeneland Library Lecture Series. And we're going to this one. Walter May, a Lexington area actor and playwright, will perform a one-man show about the legendary turf rider, Joe Palmer. Based on Palmer's book, This Was Racing, which is the one that Ursel used when he made his CD, This Was Racing. And as I understand, all the Palmers are going to be there.
Good. Steve,
and the kids and everybody. So,
well, we'll go just to see them.
Just to see them.
Yeah.
My friend Missy married to David Palmer. And went to law school with her.
Yeah.
Great girl. Yeah. A lot of fun. So we'll go there. Okie dokie. March 29th, there's a Thoroughbred Ownership Seminar presented by TOBA. It's at Lone Star. If you happen to be in Texas, all my exes live in Texas. The next one here is...
Yeah. Go ahead.
Or the end of the world or something. Okay. April 18th to 19th, Thoroughbred Ownership Seminar at Windstar Farm in Keeneland. There'll be a visit to Windstar preparing a thoroughbred for the racetrack. Virtual ownership on the Keeneland backstretch. Huh. Owner-trainer dynamic. One pays and for what the other one does. Acquiring racehorses. Thoroughbred retirement. That's a biggie. A public auction process. That sounds pretty interesting. That's a good one. If you're interested, you need to go to toba.org. T-O-B-A.org. Check it out. This weekend at Lakeside, which is a place with arenas. There's a couple of indoors and an outdoor arena. It's down near Versailles. Where Versailles Road empties into Frankfurt is where Lakeside Arena is. This weekend they're having the Lexington Winter Tournament today and the Bluegrass Winter Tournament tomorrow. Next weekend, the American Quarter. This will make our friend
Matt Howard
cry.
Matt today?
This will make him cry. American Quarter Horse Association Hunter Jumpers.
Oh.
So that's next week. Uh-huh, let me turn the page. I have a whole year's worth of stuff written down for them. I don't know if you want to use the indoor anymore at Masterson. I think they're opening up, although they're being kind of careful because the ground is so mushy.
Tell you about it. I got a little chain herring in the other day, but then I had to stop because of rain.
Yeah. We're here at the Thoroughbred Center. Very important. They are now supplying fence materials. They have in stock, 9,000 fence posts, 4,000 oak and poplar fence planks. They give you wholesale pricing if 250 more or more posts or 5 or more bundles of fence planks. That's a lot of fencing. Contact Jim Pendergast here at the training center, 293-1853. You can pick up or they will deliver. Let's see. I think that's about all I got. Yep. That's it.
All right. Well, you won't find a more powerful pedigree than Point of Entries. He's one of 148 stakes winners by the Superior Sire Dynaforma. He's one of 2 grade 1 winners out of a daughter seeking the goal. His half-sister won 2 grade 1 stakes, including the Classic Alabama. His second dam produced a grade 1 winner and millionaire, plus a filly that won grade 2 stakes and placed in grade 1 stakes. His third dam won the Classic grade 1 Alabama and produced a champion filly that earned over $1 million. His fourth dam was a champion sprinter in the dam of a horse of the year. Top that if you can. Small wonder that Point of Entry himself won 5 grade 1 stakes and earned over $2,494,000. And those that saw him win the 9 furlong Gulfstream Park Turf Handicap are not likely to forget it. He covered, this was a mile and an eighth race now, he covered the last 5/8 in 56-1. And that won a whole lot of sprints. And he beat Eclipse Award winner Animal Kingdom that day. A superb individual. Point of Entry's first foals arriving this year, and they are outstanding. So call Cormac Breathnock or Jack Brothers. Here's the number at 859-987-1798. And take a look at the website, AdinaStallions.com.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300. WLXG Lexington. And LM Communications Broadcasting Station. LM Communications. 2014 Lexington Small Business of the Year.
Eclipse Award winner American Pharoah, making his first start of the year, easily won the Grade 2 $750,000 Rebel Stakes at Oak Lawn last Saturday. He's on the Derby trail, and he's a son of Pioneer of the Nile. About this time last year, another son of Pioneer of the Nile was, like American Pharoah, in the news after he easily won his first start of the year, taking the Grade 2 Holy Bull Stakes at Gulfstream. That was Cairo Prince, and he, too, was on the Derby trail. He had won the Grade 2 Nazareth Stakes and was a head bobbing second to Honor Code and the Grade 2 Remsen as a 2-year-old. And he was a Derby favorite. Injured following the Holy Bull, Cairo Prince is standing his first season at stud after retiring with earnings of $562,000. He's a gorgeous horse, the most expensive yearling from his sire's first crop. And he's out of a stakes winning daughter of Holy Bull from a hard hitting stakes family. You should take a good look at Cairo Prince. He's about one of the hottest young sires in North America. It's a running family. He was a superb runner himself, and he stands at Mr. and Mrs. Brereton's. He owns Airdrie Stud for $10,000 live full. See the website at airdriestud.com, and keep in mind that the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit. Get my friend Chris Crowe on here in a very few minutes. He's busy right now.
He's almost.
About to wrap it up, and then you can fill in for him, Jackie.
Yeah, it's got some coming out of the gate, and that's it, I think, pretty much. So
yeah, the gate closes, I'm surprised the gate's still
open. They're walking right there, right as we speak.
Okay, must be some of Tommy Short's.
No.
All right. Well, the Derby Watch. The top horse on the Dealer Racing Form's Derby Watch is American Pharaoh. We were just talking about him, the son of Pie, then of the Nile. It stands over at Windstar Farm. He, of course, won the Rebel in an impressive fashion. His first start this year was a champion 2-year-old last year. And he's headed for the Arkansas Derby. They rank him, and Dortmund won 2. Dortmund, son of Big Brown, I think Big Brown is now in New York. Dortmund is undefeated, won the San Felipe, won the Santa Anita Derby. He's going next, I think, in the Santa Anita Derby. When did they run that? April 4. Been a lot of winners of the Santa Anita Derby. A horse is running good in that to win the Derby. Rank number 3 on here is Carpe Diem by Giants Causeway. Giants Causeway, of course, over at Ashford Stud. The 4th on the list is Upstart, a son of Flatter, and then Far From Over by Blame. And he stands, of course, at Cleburne Farm. All right, Chris, good morning again, and thanks for coming on this morning. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much, Ursula, for having me on here. And I just want to say, it's after all these years of listening to you, back when we didn't have the internet, the papers didn't have many race results, and at nighttime we could always turn it on at 6 o'clock and we get the race results all around the country. And we thank you for that.
Well, I enjoyed doing that. I inherited that show back in the late 1950s. A fellow named Art Baumol started out doing it. And I started out filling in for Art, and then he started filling in for me, and then Art quit.
You know,
went on to greener pastures. Get a little closer to that.
Well, you know, we had still enough pop bottles so we could run down to Chetty McCall's and make a $2 bet on something. So it all worked out good.
That's a name out of the past, Chetty McCall's. Lord have mercy. Liquor store and a bookie.
I don't know about that. I know it's a liquor store.
Well, you've been around a long time, Chris. Where are you from originally? I meant to ask you that.
I'm from here in Lexington.
Oh,
are
you?
Born and raised here.
Oh, well.
Sure did.
Okay.
Went to high school at Lafayette. Yeah. Went to elementary school at Picadome, and then Big Picadome, and then moved away for 3 years in junior high to Canton, Illinois. My father took a job up there, and then I told him if they didn't move back to Lexington, I was going to move back and live with my grandmother and grandfather and go to Lafayette, because I always wanted to go there.
Is that right?
So they came on home, and everything worked out good.
Well, that's great. Yeah. I'm a graduate of Lafayette.
Well, good.
Yeah. We got a whole lot.
Don Combs.
Yeah, Don.
Speck, the starter over to King.
Well, I didn't know Speck was
Speck graduated from Lafayette. Let's see, Donald Plunkett, who used to be the starter over there, went to Lafayette.
Yeah?
Yeah, there's a lot of people around the racetrack went to Lafayette.
You know, they have about 4 times a year, they have a reunion of old high school Lafayette, Henry Clay, back most of them from back, you know, Ed Fallon. And I went to school together, you know, the vet, Ed Fallon.
Yeah.
And
Doug Barry went to Lafayette.
Is that right?
I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Doug Barry was a All-State split in at Lafayette.
Well, that was the county school.
Yeah.
And Henry Clay was a city school.
Now they've got a 75th school anniversary coming up here next month.
Lafayette
does. Yeah, be 75 years old.
The school will be.
School does. Yeah. Wow. Sure does.
Wow. My Lord.
Sure does.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't in the first class, so if I could.
Not me either.
Why'd you get interested in horses?
You know, I after I got out of school and going to Keeneland and seeing the horses go and things like that, it just, it kind of caught my eye and fascinated me. And I just, my mother was in the retail business, and I kind of tried it for about a year, and then I just always had this niche. I got to go try it. And so I went to Keeneland and was a hot walker for Stanley Haynes.
Stanley Haynes.
Stanley Haynes.
My and then, gosh.
Ended up going to Payson Park a few years later with Mac Farrelly, who used to gallop for Stanley.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, the rest of it, I couldn't get it out of my blood then. So yeah. I was stuck.
Did you like Payson Park?
I did. I loved it. It's a beautiful place.
Yeah.
That was before Miss Payson owned it. And it was a deeper sandy track then. And, you know, if a horse went 5/8 and 5, that was like working a minute flat 59 somewhere. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it was kind of a different track, but it was really a nice place. Really, horses love it down there.
Now, was Hialeah still going at that time?
Hialeah was still running at that time.
Yeah.
I tell you, it was the year that General Assembly was a 3-year-old.
Oh, okay.
It was the first year I was down there.
Yeah. Secretariat's probably best son, wasn't he, General
Assembly? I think so. I would have to say so. Yeah.
Yeah. Of course, he had his best daughter was the Eclipse Award winner. But
yes, she was.
But anyway, so... that was Gulfstream and Tropical Park. It was gone.
Tropical Park was still
still going.
Still going at that time.
Boy, you are old.
Well,
that's been gone forever.
It's been gone forever.
What were they calling Tampa Bay at that time? You know, they've changed the name on
what
that.
What was
track.
That then? Now
they've changed the name on it 4 or 5 times. You know.
Yeah, I can't remember what Tampa was called at that time, be honest.
Yeah, it's like Beulah Park. They changed the name on that one down through the years.
That sometimer's disease is getting me.
Yeah, sometimer. Yeah. All right, well, so you stayed on the racetrack or?
Stayed on the racetrack, and I tell you, I really feel fortunate that I've been able to work for some really good people. You know, after Mac... there used to be a guy down at Payson that had all Leroy Jolly's babies down there, John Nazareth.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think you might remember John because he worked for Boo Gentry. And I went to work and ran John's barn a couple of years down there at Payson. And then I went to New York with Leroy one summer. And that was really, I enjoyed that.
Who did he have it running at that time? Because he had some good horses.
At that time, we had Cure the Blues. We had him down there as a 2-year-old. Genuine Risk, I went to work for John the year after Genuine Risk was a 2-year-old.
Okay.
And then, let's see, we had Cure the Blues.
Were you with him when she won the Derby?
No, I wasn't. No, okay. I wasn't. No, it was after that. And I'm trying to think who all the – I mean, he had so many nice horses down there. And Leroy was a tough guy to work for, but he was honest and fair. And then –
Well, I wonder why – he kind of lost his momentum as a trainer, and I wonder why that was.
I don't know.
You just have to speculate on that.
I can't answer that. I know he always treated me fair.
He was a good horseman, you know. He won a lot of races.
Very good horseman. And John, you know, who had the babies, John did a great job with those 2-year-olds down there. And they came out of Payson running. I mean, they were in good shape.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the last year I was with him down there, we had, let's see, the Firestones were gone. He had Peter Brent's horses, and then he had we had a bunch of babies for C.B. Whitney down there that winter.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Well, he probably had some good ones there.
A filly named Polly Rule, Cat Dance.
Oh, yeah.
Some nice horses.
Yeah.
And they went to Billy Burt's because Elliot had already winded it down.
Uh-huh.
And Billy had taken over the horses.
Yeah. Wow.
So it was interesting. But I've been lucky. I mean, you know, between John, Leroy, Rusty Arnold. Worked for Rusty for a summer. And then the next summer, I ended up going to work for Mr. Stevens and
Herb Stevens.
I can't thank him enough for what he did for me and how he helped me. But you just had to watch. He didn't tell you a lot. You had to pay attention. And
he wouldn't tell anybody anything.
I think it took 2 years before he said anything more than good morning to me.
Let me interrupt you a minute. I got to pay some bills. I'll get back. I'm talking to Chris Crow. Well, Horace Greeley has never missed. He sired major stakes winners in each of his first 3 crops of racing age. The first there was Clearly Now and Really Mr. Greeley. Clear Now won the 2014 running of the Grade 3 Belmont Sprint Championship, following scores in the Grade 3 Swale and the Grade 3 Bull Ruler. And he's placed in 8 more stakes, 6 graded, among them last year's Grade 1 Carter. He also set a new track record at Belmont, 7/8 and 1/19 and 4. Earned over $889,000. Really, Mr. Greeley won the Grade 3 Hollywood Preview Stakes. Next, Go Greeley earned a Southern Award as champion two-year-old male in Canada. He's won 3 stakes and placed in 3 more and has earned over $400,000. Then, listed among Horse Greeley's 2014 two-year-old winners was Leave the Light On, winner of the Grade 2 Remsen. Horse Greeley, winner of the now Grade 1 Del Mar Fortuity, is by Mr. Greeley out of a Stormcat mare, and he stands for $2,500 due in a full stand in nurses. Now, you show me another sire with a comparative record that stood standing for an advertised $2,500. Inquiries to Bernie Sams at 859-233-4252 and see the website at claibonfarm.com. Want to talk about my good friend, Hill Parker. He was out here working a horse just a few minutes ago and didn't have a chance to talk to him because I was in here in the clocker stand talking. But anyway, he was top flight horseman and a top flight in the real estate business. He and his lovely wife, Reagan Parker, have been in the real estate business for over a dozen years now, and he, of course, been around horses all his life. He was an A-level pony cub rider. He rode steeplechasers. He's done about everything, and he has trained horses, and it does very well. He trains one or two of his own and just for having fun. But his primary business is, of course, being in real estate. And they've got a great website. I'm going to give it to you right now. It's LexHorseFarms.com. You go to it. If you're in the market for a farm, he's got an outstanding variety of locations and sizes and prices. And Hill and Reagan Parker, they can help you find the perfect farm just for you. What is that, all that yelling at there?
Jamie yelling at me.
Jamie Bruin.
Oh, oh, that's Jamie Bruin.
Hey, listen.
Tell him to shave his beard. We got to talk a little bit about Jamie here in the middle of Christmas, Chris. We talk about him, too. Okay. He is a character, anyway. Anyway, they've got a listing at their website, LexHorseFarms.com, the farms of Fayette, Bourbon, Jasmine, Woodford, Scott, Clark, Annie, all around, and they can help you find just the right farm for you, and they work real hard for you and get your place sold for you too. They're nice people to do business with, great dudes, people that you can trust in a real estate business. It's Hill and Reagan Parker at 859-608-8039, LexHorseFarms.com. All righty, let's see now, where are we? Okay. Those of you that are looking for a stud that can put you in the winner's circle, and who isn't, and it stands for a reasonable fee, and they're few and hard to find, take a close look at Tis Deja Vu. He has had 16 starters in his first crop, and 11 of the 16 have won. He's the sire of Tis Gorgeous, winner of the Pat Whitworth Illinois Debutante Stakes after breaking his maiden at Arlington Park, and she also ran second in the Showtime Dead Stakes. 2-time winner, Sister Shades, after taking a maiden special, ran fourth in $100,000 stakes. Miss Deja Vu has posted 4 wins, all 4 of them at Gulfstream. Last Sunday at Golden Gate, All That More posted her 2nd win from 3 starts. Deja Etoile broke her maiden at the Fairgrounds. Tis My Valentine at Tampa Bay. Tis Sensational at the Fairgrounds. 11 first crop winners from 16 starters. Tis Deja Vu is a leading second crop sire by percentage of winners from starters. Winner of 5 stakes. He won more graded stakes than any son of Tis Now at stud in this country. Tis Deja Vu stands at Pope McLean's Crestwood Farm. Give Pope a call. 859-252-3770. Ask about breeding incentives to the Crestwood Stallions. And see the website at crestwoodfarm.com. All that racket was raised here a minute ago by Jamie Bruin. Jamie, about 50 pounds ago, used to ride races.
And was a good race rider, too.
Absolutely. I'm talking to Chris Crow here now. You said you had a story to tell on Jamie.
Yeah, Jamie, I had a horse. And one summer, Jamie just kept coming by the barn. When I go to the races, Jamie would walk up to me and go, you know, I know you got something down there I can ride. You know, just put me on something. So I had a horse I was taking to Hoosier Park to run. And I said, that's the one for Jamie. So I asked Jamie's agent. I said, Jamie, go up there and ride this horse. Yeah, he'll be there. So Jamie rides him. The horse wins, comes back and wins at Turfway. So now he's 2-for-2 with Jamie on him. Third time I took Jamie off of him, put somebody else on there, and he won again. Jamie came and he asked me, he said, hey, he said, I went two in a row on that horse. Why didn't you ride me back the third time? I said, Jamie, I said, I'll give you two shots. I said, I didn't trust you for the third one.
The first time I rode Jamie, I used to ride Jack and Nagel all the time.
Love Jack.
Yeah. Jack would always try to get your piece of the purse, wouldn't
he? Yes, he would.
Yeah. Try real hard. Rider. I like Jack, too.
Good person, good rider, honest rider, and ride his heart out for
you. Yeah, yeah. Well, he got ticked off at me about something and took off one of my horses one time. And I didn't know it. I named him, you know, and I got up there, and the clerk of scales up there,
Bobby Peck.
Peck. Called me and says, I had to put somebody else on your horse. And I said, why? And he says, well, Jack took off. He wanted to ride something else in there. And I said, okay. You know, I guess I think he was ticked off at me about something. I took a horse up to Beulah Park and bet my money. And I didn't tell him about it and didn't ask him to ride because I knew damn well Jack wasn't about to leave Turfway to go to Beulah Park.
No, you know, Jack wasn't.
But anyway, but the horse won up at Beulah and paid $42. And Jack was a little hot about it, you know. And this was the same horse. And anyway, we patched it up later on. He rode a bunch of more winners for me. But I said, well, who'd you put on? I asked Bobby, and he said, I put the leading rider on. Here it's Jamie Bruin. And he won. And it made me feel good. You know, I told Jack, I said, Jack, he should have been on that one, you know.
And those boys are best of friends, Jamie.
Oh, I know they are.
I mean, they're as good of friends as you want to be.
Yeah. I had Jamie on the show. Interviewed him over at the Jot 'em Down store one day. You could always find him in there at noon. And I went to do an interview. I says, do you miss riding? He says, I miss it something awful.
Oh, I guarantee he does. I mean, you can see him out here galloping these horses. He still got it in him. When he breezes a horse, he still looks good.
Oh, you get right flat down on one, can't he? You know?
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
As Mr. Steven, you say, you get down there and scrub on him.
Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah, he's... he's a nut, you know.
He is that. He is that.
Funny.
You know, that's why they put fences around this place. It's not to keep the public out of here. It's to keep us in here.
You remember you remember the commercials. I forget whose it was, you know, with the pig with a little spinner on a stick, you know, they're leaning out the window, you know. And
yeah, I remember that.
And you know, you go wee like that.
That's Jamie.
I looked out here one day, and so somehow or another, he had taped one of those things on his helmet. And he went by out here breezing the horse and looked over this big grin on his face and says, wee! That thing was just flying. It's Jamie.
That is Jamie. He does like to have fun at it.
And he's got more jokes.
Oh, he enjoys it.
None of them you can repeat.
No, no.
Not on the air, anyway.
They're not good for radio.
Yeah, and they are best of friends, he and Jack. And as a matter of fact, they had the same agent.
Yes.
Along, Charlie Wisby.
Yep, they sure
did. I can tell you a story, too, about Charlie, too.
Now, watch out now. Might not be one you can tell on the radio.
Well, the other thing I took, I'll go ahead and tell it, the thing I took up to Beulah to win a bet on, what was the name of that boy's name that I wrote that day? I'll think of it in a minute. But Wisby had his book, and he'd come through the barn over here at Barn 15 and over here. He'd come through there one day, and I said, I want you to ride this filly. I'm taking her up to Beulah. I mean, and Wisby said, all right, we'll ride her. And Herb Jones, my buddy over there, Herb looked over him and says, by golly, she's going to win, you know. So I went up there, and we went to cash our tickets, you know. And the lady who was the cashier there says, oh, you bet on this horse, too. Says, Charlie Wisby came by and told everybody to bet on it. I know God knows what she was going to pay, you know.
$80 if you get the shut.
Anyway, that's Charlie Wisby. But now you're getting back to Herb Stevens. You were with Herb for
14 years. With him for 14 years, and then in 96 I took out my trainer's license. I mean, I'd been my ex-wife and I, Roxanne Martin, we had had horses together for about 10 years before that. And but Mr. Stevens, we were in his barn or across from his barn, and then I was there every day with him. And I had a lot of people try to get me to go on my own, and I said no. He was too good to me, and I was learning too much by being there, and I wasn't about to leave him. I think Mr. Stevens might have been in his 70s then.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wasn't going to go anywhere there. And he just, I'll tell you what, when I went on my own for the next 12 years, He was there at that barn every morning, even when I would go out of town. I went to Oakland a couple of winters, and I kept the tack room there at Keeneland, and he'd go out there every day and sit and read his racing form, and he'd get there about 15 after 7.
This was after he'd retired.
After he'd retired. Well,
man, then go to
he didn't retire because he said people that retire, they come back. He said, I quit. He said, you're not going to see me no more. But he'd come every day, and he'd sit there, and, you know, he'd walk up to the racetrack a couple sets with me, and then he would you know, if we'd go to gate or something like that, he'd drive up there, and we'd go up. I'd ride in his car, and we'd go to the gate. He loved the gate now. There was nobody that enjoyed going to the gate anymore than Mr. Stevens. Every set went every day until he started working 5/8 a mile.
Yeah.
But and then he never trained on Sundays. I think in the 14 years I was with him, we trained 2 Sundays, and that was only because horses were in on Monday.
Yeah.
Huh. And that's just the way he was. But I can never thank him enough for what he did for me, and there's no way that I could repay him. And I kind of looked at him like he was my father.
Yeah.
He was a good man.
Yeah. Tell me about why he wouldn't run a Turfway.
Well, they took a parking spot from him. He used to have the parking spot the old way they had it. It was parked right outside the paddock.
Uh-huh.
And he came up there one day, and there was a sign on there that said racing secretary. So he walked in. He told him, he said, I'm going to saddle this one right here, but it'll be the last one I come up here and saddle. And for 25 years, he never went. And we had, there was one year we had a couple horses for Mr. Hagen, Louis Hagen. And it was November had come around, and all the guys in the barn always took their vacations in December. And it was the last week of Churchill, and I was going to leave the next day and go bird hunting for a week. And so Mr. Stevens, he pulled up there, and I said, Mr. Stevens, I said, now I know you haven't been up there in 25 years. I said, but we got a couple horses here that haven't started yet and are ready to run. Now, if you want to go up there, I said, I'll be more than happy to go up there and saddle them, and you won't have to go. He said, well, I'll think about it.
Yeah.
And so I was supposed to get back home. I decided I wouldn't come back home till the next Monday. Well, for some reason, when I was driving back from South Carolina on Saturday night, I couldn't get a room in Gatlinburg where I was going to stay and then drive back in on Sunday. And so we drove all the way back to Lexington. Well, there was a girl that worked for us that was staying in the condo. And so we got back home about 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. She was coming down getting ready to go to the barn. And I said, Miss Stevens knows I won't be into work today. I'll be there on Monday. And she said, no, said, we got an entry in at Turfway today. And she said, I've been telling him for 4 days that you're not coming. You won't be back home till Monday. He said, don't you worry about it. I said, Chris will be home.
Exactly.
And I know he'll be here. And I said, do what? And she said, no. He said, I know he'll be back. Don't worry about it. He'll be here. So I told her to go on the barn, get the work done that morning. When they get the horse loaded up, come on back to the house, pick me up.
Yeah.
So she came by and picked me up, and we go to Turfway. And I walked in the paddock, and he said, I told you you'd be here. So evidently, he knew more than I knew.
Yeah, right. How'd they run?
Run 1-2.
Is
and
that
lost
right?
The one that ran second.
Always, yeah. The clean one.
Yeah, the clean one run second.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It was a good day.
Yeah. Now, he used to take horses occasionally up to New York, didn't he?
Very seldom. He didn't like to travel. He always felt that he had a bed at his house, and that's where he's supposed to sleep at nighttime.
Is that right?
And the whole time I was with him in the 14 years, we never went to New York. He took a filly that was a half sister to Genuine Risk to Ox Auburn, and I think she ran second at Ox Auburn Oaks.
Yeah,
and she was a real filly's name was Sorbet that was owned by G. Watts Humphrey.
Uh huh.
And he just didn't like traveling. He liked to stay home.
Yeah.
He loved Kentucky. The story he told me when he had Rock Hill Native, because I started with him a year or two after he had Rock, and Mr. Oaks and them, when he wins the Bluegrass, or before the Bluegrass, they said they asked him, said, which one do you want to run in? And he'd been two-year-old champion. He said, well, I really want to win the Bluegrass. I'd rather win it. And so he won the Bluegrass so easy, as everybody knows, and he decided to run him back in the Derby.
Yeah.
But he was... He loved Keeneland.
Yeah. Well, he spent a lifetime there.
It.
Did you know his brother, Tommy?
Very little.
Yeah.
He had.
He passed away.
He was in the car wreck right before I went to work for him.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he was a good horse. Now, he had Mr. Humphrey's horses. Uh-huh. And that's kind of how I think Mr. Stevens got to pick up a few of them here and there, was because Tommy had had them at one time. Yeah. And then Joe Pierce took them after Tommy.
That's when Mr. Humphrey had Wallaway Farm over here on the Iron Works.
Had it. And then Shawnee down there in Harrisburg.
That. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think his aunt owned Wallaway.
Oh, okay.
Miss Furman.
Uh-huh.
And then G-Watch had Shawnee Farm over in Harrisburg.
Yeah.
And the way I knew that farm was I had an uncle years and years ago, Buck Sharp, and he worked with the broodmares there at Shawnee, and we used to go over on Sundays, and they'd make homemade ice cream, and, you know, the kids, we'd run around there, and you'd always want to go look at the horses, and he'd take you down to the barn, you'd get a look at them there.
Yeah.
And then he went to running Mr. Ball's farm, Donnemeyer.
Okay.
Before the new farm was there.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, got to pay a bill here. Well, let's see. To sign a Clips Award winner in your first crop, that's quite an achievement. One certain to get the attention of breeders, and that is exactly what First Defense did, and the results were, as expected, the mares booked for him over the next few seasons reads like a who's who racing. Graded stakes winners, graded stakes producers, great support, not only from Judmont Farm, where he stands, but from many outside breeders. Close Hatches earned an Eclipse Award by winning the 2014 runnings of the Grade 1 Ogden Phipps, the Grade 1 Apple Blossom, and the Grade 1 Person Lanson. Upon retirement, she'd won 7 stakes, 5 of them Grade 1, and had earned $2,707,300. Other runners by First Defense to catch the eye of breeders have been Group Stakes winner Dun Donnell, 2014 Stakes winner Privet Heads, 2014 Stakes winner Pistols Drawn, 2014 Stakes winner Irish Jasper. Irish Jasper is a 2-year-old, got another promising 2-year-old in Great Britain called Tomberlane, ran second in pair of Group Stakes over there, one in Ireland and one in England. Plus such quality stakes horses as New Line and Kazuri and Beach Hut and Smoking in the Boys' Room. Grade 1 Stakes winner First Defense by Unbridled Song out of the Grade 1 winner Honest Lady. A half-sister by Seattle Sluta Empire Maker stands for $10,000 live foal at Judmont Farm. Inquiries at Garrett O'Rourke or in Fry, 859-272-7629. See the website at judmont.com. Well, horses raised on products from McCauley Brothers won 5 more stakes over the weekend. American Pharoah, winner of the Grade 2 Rebel and the champion 2-year-old colt of 2014, was raised at Viney for the Zayat Stables. The Grade 2 Santa Ana Stakes winner, Hoop of Color, was raised at Oak Tree for Flaxman Holdings. In New York, the Correction Handicap was won by Mamduha, bred and raised at Shadwell Farm. The Borgata Stakes at Delta Downs was won by Bellaman, bred by John Phillips and raised at Darby Dam. And the Scottsdale Handicap at Turf Paradise was won by Stars Woman, bred by Keen Ridge Stable and raised at Keen Ridge Farm. Congratulations to all. Through last weekend, horses raised on McCauley products have won 33 stakes already this year. 20 of them are graded stakes, 3 grade 1. For maximum results at the races, raise them the right way on a farm. Feed the best, and the best is McCauley products. Call Mike Warren or David Longmire at 859-873-3333. See the website at McCauleyBros.com or stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. McCauley Brothers, where it's all about the horse. Daily Racing Form Sunday edition is on your newsstands as we speak. I've got my copy. John Sparkman is writing in a column in there about improbable success stories in racing. Very interesting article. Joey Pribman is writing an article about Firing Line. Nicole Russo is on the leading sires in Louisiana. Joe Neville writes about the leading sires in New Mexico. Mary Rampolini about the leading sires in Arizona. And you'd be surprised at some of the horses that are standing at these three places right now. Also, past performances from Aqueduct and Tampa, Gulfstream, Law, Hawthorne Fairgrounds, Oaklawn, Fauna Park, and of course, Turfway Park. Now, the best way to keep up with racing is to log on to drf.com/breeding update to sign up today for your free copy. That's drf.com/breeding update and sign up for that. It's, of course, racing form is racing's Bible. I don't know if racing could survive without it, so I get my copy every day. All righty. I'm talking to Chris Crow, who's doing some clocking here now, filling in 3 or 4 days a week with the training center here.
3 days a week.
3 days a week?
3 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
You were doing a little helping out over at Keeneland, too, weren't you?
You know, that's kind of how I got to enjoying doing it. Tommy Bridges, who clocks over at Keeneland, is a really good friend of mine. And when I came back and was unemployed a couple of times, I'd just kind of go up and hang out with Tommy and kind of watch Tommy and
yeah.
And see what they're doing, and got to enjoying it. And, you know, just it's something to do, but it keeps you in with the horses. And, you know, once you get this in your blood, it's hard to get it out.
Why? Well, that's true. That's true. Well, down through the years, what's the best horse you saw that you've ever seen run?
The best horse I ever saw run was Secretariat.
Okay.
Now, Mr. Stevens, he always said the best horse he ever saw was Citation.
I knew you were going to say that.
He said his only horse he ever saw made 3 runs in the Derby.
Is that right?
And he said every time that our Carroll pushed the button, said he just went a little faster.
Yeah.
And said Ben Jones told him, said as far as he knew, how was it? Said Citation could outrun anything he could see, and as far as he knew, there wasn't nothing wrong with his vision.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I've used that a couple of times myself. But, yeah.
But Secretariat was the best one I ever saw run.
Yeah.
I was at the at the Derby the day he won the Derby.
Oh, you saw it then?
Yeah, sure did.
Do you think he was going to catch Cold Hound?
Oh no! So I wasn't there when Citation ran. I was there when Secretariat ran.
Oh, Secretariat! Okay.
You take me back here with you now, Ursula. Yeah.
Well, I miss Citation. I didn't get down there that year for some reason. 1970. I was with a racing foreman too. Now I'd been the year before when Riva Ridge won it.
Yep.
And I guess the best horse that I actually ever saw, not counting TV, well, counting TV as far as that goes, too, because right. I saw Secretary win a Belmont. That was a spectacular race.
It's in cold chills down your back.
Yeah, yeah, it was. But I thought Swaps was one of the best horses, probably the best horse. I saw him win at Hollywood Park and beating really good horses and you know, could carry that weight. And it just, the number of records he set, you know, was unbelievable.
Well, I heard a lot about him when I was out in California. I was out there on my own the winter of 2005 at Golden Gate, and then I went back out there in 07 with Patrick Biancone. And out there, they really, really talk a lot about Swaps.
Yeah, well, he was,
and I didn't see him, so, I, you know, I couldn't say.
Best horse probably ever come out of California, yeah. I would say. Yeah, how'd you like Golden Gate?
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was a fun track to go to.
It was, and I enjoyed running there. I got to go over Bay Meadows and run a few, win a couple races over there. And the fairs were just getting ready to start when I came back home in the spring. Yeah, and I was kind of looking forward to maybe staying there and running and going to the fairs a little bit, because they say it's a great, great summer when you got the fairs up there in Northern California.
Yeah.
But I really – Bill Greeley's son was the racing secretary there at Golden Gate at the time, and I really enjoyed it.
Uh-huh. Pretty track.
Beautiful.
Sitting right there on the
beautiful,
bay.
Beautiful racetrack.
Yeah, it really was.
Yeah. You look, people were nice. You know, you're right there. You got Golden Gate, and you got Berkeley. And then, you know, you got a lot of things really close by that you can do. Palo Alto's not that far away. You got Oakland. It's not that far away. So there's a lot of things to do out there. But the racetrack, I thought the surface was great out there. And the people that ran the racetrack out there really took good care of you. Yeah.
First quarter horse race I ever saw was at Bay Meadows. I went out there one day and they had that. It was a fair meeting, but you know, L.A. had mule races and thoroughbred races. And
they saw those at Pomona.
Mule races? Yeah. I don't remember if they ran a mule race that day, but they were running quarter horses. But, you know, it was a. They used to have a meeting at Pleasanton, and yep. They may still.
They say Pleasanton, yeah, they is. They it kind of took the Bay Meadows dates.
Yeah,
and but I was out there the year after. I think Black Ruby, the big the big mare, you know, for as far as mules go.
The mules, were,
yeah.
She went. How much she ran up?
She went a bunch of, 17, 18, 19 races in a row, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Black Ruby.
Yeah, Black Ruby. They were interesting races to watch.
I know. Yeah. Well, I've seen them on TV. They come sometimes. They don't come out there too true, do they?
No, and they don't run real straight.
No, they don't. Oh, Lord.
Now, those jocks take their life in their own hands.
Golden Gate. Did you ever make it down to Santa Anita?
Well, that's where I ended up when I went out there with Patrick. I spent 5 years or yeah, 5 years at Santa Anita.
Uh-huh.
For him, I had a string of horses for him there, and then he was on the East Coast at Gulfstream, Monmouth, around there, and then he'd come back out there a little bit. But and I really enjoy what a beautiful racetrack it is.
It really is, and it's gorgeous.
Very, but they can say what they want to about Santa Anita, Belmont, Monmouth Park, all the other racetracks. There's no racetrack compares to Keeneland.
Well, that is a hard boot talking for you. Well, that's right. You know, I remember the first race I ever saw was, I guess, the first race you ever saw was Keeneland.
Yeah, yeah, sure was.
Do you remember?
Yeah. It was funny because I'd go out in the mornings. I kind of sneak out there and watch horses work. Watch horses gallop. Didn't really know anything about the game. And so I was walking out of there one day after morning works were done, and there was an old guy standing there, and he had a big old coat on. I didn't know him from Adam's house cat. And he said, Sonny, said, you looking for a horse to bet on? And he gave me a horse of Dave Casson's. And the horse won.
Yeah.
And the guy that gave me the horse was the original Indian Charlie.
Is that right?
And I tell you what, he's a piece of work now.
Oh, yeah.
I had another instance with him one time. My ex-wife and I, we had a filly named All Flash No Cash.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I might have told you this story, Ursel. But Steve Casey, that trains horses out here, was galloping horse at that time, and it just started on his own. Well, she was worth about $5,000 on the dirt. But you put her on the grass, and she was a nice allowance filly.
Yeah.
So it's Keeneland's coming up, and I need to get a really good work in her, and I need to work her like 3/4 mile. So I told Steve, I said, Steve, I said, any chance you'd be at the barn about 3:45 in the morning, is there? He said, well, you got planned. I said, well, we're going to go work on the grass in the morning. Uh-huh. And he goes, well, how are we going to do that? And I said, well, I said, we're going to walk like we're going to the training track, and then we're just going to keep like going like we go to the paddock. And then we're going to cut right there at the gate. I'm going to open it, the gap up.
I hope they're not listening to this again.
I don't care. I don't have horses there now, so I can tell them. So, and it's dark. That's before they had lights on the racetracks. And so I opened the turf up, and he said, Chris, I can't see nothing. I said, don't worry about Steve. I said, she knows where she's going. He worked her 3/4 mile. She went 3/4 in 12. And I'd clocked her, and as I was walking down to open the gap up to let her back out of there, I passed by one of those columns there down around the secretary's office, and out of nowhere, this guy reached around the corner and said, you thought you got that by me, didn't you, Sonny? And I looked over, and there's Indian Charlie. I don't. He must slip in the grandstands, all I can tell you. But, no, it about 8 o'clock that morning, Mike Young called me and wanted to know if he'd seen anybody on the turf course that morning. And I said, Mike, I got no idea what you're talking about. But we got a good work in her, and if I'm not mistaken, she won.
Yeah.
So it was worth it.
Oh, Lordy.
But, you know, racetrackers used to do things like that back then.
Yeah, I know. Let me get back to this. And last Saturday, the Aqueduct Progeny of Shadwell Stallions finished 1-2 in the $100,000 correction stakes when my Duha, 4-year-old filly by De Hare, narrowly defeated Expression, the daughter of Invisor. Ma'am Duha, bred and owned by Shadwell Farm and trained by Kieran McLaughlin, won by Head Over Expression. She was bred by Stone Farm and Joseph Sutton, trained by Charlie Charlton Baker. Ma'am Duha has won 5 in a row now. She's won 5 of her 6 starts with 1 second. She's earned over $290,000. The correction was her 3rd straight stakes victory, following scores in the Gin Talking Stakes at Laurel and the Ruthless Stakes at Aqueduct. Expression, in her last start of 2014, won Aqueduct's $100,000 Garland of Roses Stakes, and since then, she's placed in 3 more stakes, the $100,000 Innerbar at Aqueduct, the Grade 2 Barbara Fritchie at Law, and then the correction. She's accumulated earnings of over $424,000. Grade 1 winner De Hare by Awesome Again and Hall of Famer Invisor are both proven sires of graded stakes winners. For more info, call Stallion Manager Kent Barnes over at Shadwell Farm, 859-224-4585, and see the website ShadWillFarm.com.
Want unlimited access to pedigree reports on more than 2 million foals for a low annual cost? Then BristNet's American Produce Records is for you. Updated in real time and available on demand at BristNet.com/APR and optimized for tablet and mobile. The APR Online is the place for instant access to a wealth of information on North American thoroughbreds dating back more than a century. The annual price, $275. Visit BristNet.com/APR and discover why American Produce Records has been the choice of bloodstock and racing professionals for generations and why a new generation is using APR Online.
March 15 at Oaklawn, the Grade 2 $750,000 Rebel Stakes was won by American Pharaoh, three-year-old Cooper Pioneer of the Nile. Winner of the Eclipse Award is champion two-year-old of 2014. American Pharaoh won the Rebel under a hand ride by 6 1/4 lengths, despite bobbling at the start. The Rebel was his first start since dominating victories in the Grade 1 Front Runner at Santa Anita and the Grade 1 Del Mar Futurity. Bred and owned by Zayat Staples and trained by Bob Baffert, he's accumulated earnings in excess of the $827,000. And he is number one on Steve Haskins' Derby Dozen and also on the Daily Racing Form's Derby Watch. He's... Pioneer of the Nile is compiling a remarkable stud record. He is the sire of 16 stakes horses in his first two crops, 7 stakes winners. 11 of the 16 are in black type in graded stakes, and 5 of his 7 stakes winners are graded stakes winners. Grade 1 winner, Pioneer of the Nile by Empire Maker, stands at Windstar Farm. Watch for his 2-year-olds at the major auctions. And for more on the Windstar stands, call Darren Fox, Sean Tugel, or Kyle Wilson at 859-873-1717 and see the website at windstarfarm.com. Well, I've been talking to Chris Crow, my old-time horseman around here, and Chris, I want to thank you for coming on the show with me. What?
One more story.
Okay, one more story out of Chris.
I got one more, and this is Mr. Stevens' story, and it's all flash, no cash story. Had her in at Keeneland one day, and there was a filly that Steve Penrod trained at Warner Jones on named Superfan. And we tried that witch I don't know how many times and couldn't outrun her. Run second to her I don't know how many times. So now I got her in at Keeneland, and Mr. Stevens used to take everything to the gate. So I'm on the pony, and I go to the gate second set, and the gate crew's there, and Tommy Wagner's started in. And he goes, I walk by there, and he goes, ain't no super fan in there today. I don't think anything about it. Next set, walk by there, ain't no super fan in there today. Next set, same thing. So now we get her ready to go to the races, and all my friends used to stand up top the escalators. Mr. Stevens used to always sit in his box, and he might come back and get a drink of water, but he never speak to these boys. We walked by him that day, and he goes, y'all got your garbage sacks today? They don't think nothing. Next race goes by, he walks by again. Y'all got your garbage sacks today? What is he talking about? Now the next race comes by, and he walks by. He says, you boys got them garbage sacks today? And they said, Mr. Stevens, that's 3 times you come by and wanted to know if we've got our garbage sacks. Said, ain't no super fan in there today.
he's
the best.
Yeah.
I miss him so much that he's gone.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's like I lost my best friend.
Well, I had him on the show many years ago. Back when the show first started, you know, and I didn't do a very good job with it. I didn't. At that time, I wish, you know, I'd have had him. I wish you'd have brought him over here.
I wish he probably just said, yeah. That was his best. That's about all you get out of
him. He didn't say too much, but
no.
I remember I was when that horse won the Bluegrass Stakes for him. And I know how everybody at Keeneland was so happy for him.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it kind of took him by surprise that everybody. You know, I mean, I know Hugh McGuire was the writer at the Racing Form. He wrote a wonderful column about it, you know, and everybody was congratulating him and everything. And I think it kind of got to him.
He was a tough guy. I mean, he would look at Hardboot and Webster's, and it's got his picture. But you had to know him to understand him. I mean, he just had a great sense of humor. He was the most loyal person I've ever known in my life.
Yeah.
I mean, if you were on his team, it didn't matter. If you told somebody the sky was purple today, well, my God, he said it was purple.
Yeah.
And that's just the way it was.
Yeah.
There
A World War II vet. Right?
World War II vet. Yes, yeah. He was. Good man. Good. I mean, I can't say enough about him, and I can't thank him enough for what he did for me.
Yeah. Well, that's great. That's right. All right, Chris. Thank you so much.
It's been my pleasure, Ursula, and I hope to do it again sometime.
Got to get all right. We'll do. We'll take you up on that. We got to go get my handicapper on here now.
I can think some more lies.
He hasn't gotten him yet. He doesn't have him. No Steve.
No Steve yet?
No.
Oh, well, stick around then. Okay. No. Well, Wilburn has covered full books of quality mares since his retirement. 122 just last year, and his first foals are two-year-olds. Wilburn stands a spendthrift farm, and it's likely that he'll follow the example set by his stablemates there. In the Mischief, Line of David, Temple City, Warrior's Reward, all sires of major stakes winners in the first crops to race. Wilburn has all the tools. He was a runner. He broke his maiden first time out at Santa Anita, won in top company at Churchill at Monmouth Park, won the Grade II Indiana Derby by nearly 5 lengths, defeating winners of the Preakness and the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. He won the $300,000 Smarty Jones Stakes. He won 5 of his first 8 starts, with all 5 wins coming at different tracks. He didn't care where he ran, and he earned over $586,000. His sire stands for $85,000. His dam won graded stakes and has produced 2 graded stakes winners. The family's packed with major stakes winners, and his first crop of yearlings sold for up to $120,000. Kim Ramsey bought one, and Ken doesn't make a whole lot of mistakes, you know. Wilburn stands for $6,500 doing the full stands and nurses. And when you talk to Dez Dempsey or Brian Lyle or Mark Tuthacker, be sure to ask about breeding incentives. The phone number is 859-294-0030. And see the website at spendthriftfarm.com. All righty. There's no Steve Moody today, huh?
No, not so far.
Well, okay. That's the guy that does the handicapper sheet, you know. Gulfstream now uses the Kentucky handicapper sheet.
I haven't picked a winner since Moby Dick was a guppy, so don't ask me.
I know the feeling. You know the thing. I remember that before I got married, I used to be able to do pretty good because I didn't care whether I won or lost at that time, so I used to win pretty regularly.
You know the old saying, a broke man can't pick one.
Yeah, well, there you go. But, you know, when you get married and you got responsibilities and everything, and I had a hard time picking a winner.
Yeah. I mean, what they always say on the racetracks, that don't bet you eating money and don't eat your betting money.
Yeah. You know, we were talking about Dr. Thomas, Dr. E.W. Thomas.
He was a breeder of Rock Hill Native.
Breeder, yeah. Well, whatever. I know he had 2 sons or 3.
Bill Tom. I know Bill.
What's
Mark.
Bill doing?
I'm not sure what Mark's doing. Bill is a realtor now. I saw Bill last year over to golf course of the Bluegrass there on Harrisburg Road. I saw Bill and talked to him a little bit. He's doing a real estate now.
Is that you a golfer?
No. Okay. I like to ride around and have a good time.
Care about hitting the ball.
No, I've got some friends that we play on Tuesday nights, and we've got a game we call Full Contact Golf.
No,
we need to write the book on it because every golf course in the country and everybody that goes to the airport to get on a plane would love to buy this book because we got rules that you'll play less than 3 hours, but you'll have a good time.
Okay. Sounds like a cheater's game to me.
No, we don't cheat. We explain the rules before we start.
Oh, okay.
So that's not cheating if you know the rules.
I know Jim died pretty young.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure what Mark's doing, but like I say, I saw Bill.
Mark was the youngest one, wasn't he?
I think he was the youngest son.
Yeah. And Bill used to train some.
Bill trained over there at Keeneland. He had the barn right up there across from John Ward's barn there at Bosworth and Rice Road.
Mm-hmm. Did you know Mr. Ward, John Ward?
John, yeah, I didn't know his father, but I knew John very well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'd met his father.
Yeah, no.
Did you ever meet Mickey McGuire while he was with the racing farm?
Got a clock.
Pardon?
Did he clock?
No.
No.
No, he was with a racing phone.
No,
used to
write. No, I didn't know him.
Yeah.
No.
But, anyway, he was there when I went there. I went to work 1968, the same year that Ted went to work there as general manager of Keeneland.
The only person I knew that worked for the race farm was Gus Petro.
Oh, yeah.
Gus and I went to high school together.
Is that right?
Yeah, sure did.
Another Lafayette guy?
Another Lafayette graduate.
Well, my golly, I'm learning more about Lafayette here. Bunch of bums come out of there.
All of us, a bunch of degenerates.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. Well, there was a bunch of characters around Keeneland at that time, you know. That,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was. It was, I tell you, there was a good bunch of people around Keeneland at that time. I mean, a lot of nice people. You used to have Larry Rue came in.
There goes Jamie again. There goes
Jamie. Had Larry Rue would bring Chug McGahee's babies in there for the summers. And then Mr. Stevens had his. Rusty Arnold, which he's got a barn there again now. He always had a bunch of horses there at Keeneland in the summertime. And
did you know Rusty's dad?
Yes, I knew George. I worked for George for a little bit. When Rusty went to New York for the winter, I went to work for George and worked for him right after Rusty went to New York until June of that year when I went to work for Mr. Stevens.
Yeah. He was a World War II vet. In fact, he came back from the service and went out to Lafayette. He hadn't graduated, you know.
Right.
And he went out there, and I think he had needed another year of high school and went out there. George did.
Yeah, it was different. Back then, guys, they'd lie about their age to go to war.
Yeah, yeah.
When I was in school was when Vietnam was going on, and we were trying to lie our way to
get out of it.
Get out of it. Yeah, right. It was ugly.
Yeah. Well, George was, of course, older.
Right.
When he came back out there, and all the little high school girls just were all gaga over George. He was a good-looking guy anyway, you know. And I think, he might have gotten a little escapade or two out there, but you know,
it happens.
Yeah, he was.
It happens.
But hey, George was a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed working for him for the time I worked for him. But you know, I had an opportunity to go work for Mr. Stevens, and wasn't no shot turning that down.
Yeah,
I mean, he was the legend around here at that time, and so I wasn't going to miss that.
Yeah. Well, did he ever top the trainer's list?
Yes.
Then? Yeah.
I'm thinking that he might have won training titles there two or three times, and then at one time he was like the third or fourth all-time leading trainer. But you know, now with your big stables and the way they are now, you know, they just shattered all those records.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the big stables in Tennessee
Wright.
Right, you know, with Grissom.
Right.
Did you know Mr. Grissom?
No, I didn't.
He owned a farm right up here on the right at the Paris Pike here.
Now, I do remember when first started going to Keeneland watching races, you had, you know, in the springtime, you had a two-year-old race almost every day. You had T.A. Grissom. You had Boamazon.
W.H. Bishop.
Yeah. I mean, those things were
fun. You remember? Well, you probably don't, but when Grissom, Mr. T.A. Grissom and W.H. Bishop got in a training war up at Arlington Park. You know,
no, that's for my time.
And they were claiming each other's horses right and left. You know, I asked Mr. Grissom about that. I really liked him. He used to go out.
Yeah.
He used to go out here and talk to him all the time at when he had this farm up here. You know, and we got to talk about that one time. He says, Ursula says, I finally told Bish. I says, Bish, says, you're going to lose this. I says, because I got more money than you do.
and that's the way they used to look at it.
Yeah, right.
I've heard stories that Mr. Stevens told me about them. You know, these guys, you know, you claim a horse off a guy that you shouldn't have, they claim you're right out of business.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So so I think that kind of ended the training war up there.
Yeah.
You know, I know that. Did you remember Jack Hodgins?
No, I just heard about him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of, when I went on a racetrack, I was with him, with Jack, and with Mr. Hodgins. Excuse me. I would never in this world have called him Jack.
Well, see, that's the way I am with Mr. Stevens. I mean, people, they walk by and young kids and, hey, Herb. And I go, oh, no. And I saw him one day stop a kid that called him Herb, and he said, my name is Mr. Stevens to you.
That sounds just like him.
Yes.
We ran a little horse out there when I was working for him named Safe Message. He was a spice on. And they ran him in the stakes out there. I forget which stakes it was. It was a Phoenix or one of those, a Ben Ally or something like that. And Bishop was trying to buy the horse, you know, and right there in the paddock. And Hodgins says, I'll tell you what. I think he said, I'll take $75,000 for him. And this was back when that was a lot of money. And he looked right at him, he put his finger in his face and says, and you give it to me after this race. And and the little horse won. And he bought him.
Yeah.
He bought him. He also had a, I'm about to run out of time here. He had sold a horse named Burseem because he didn't like anything that Mary produced, and she produced three stakes winners, including a champion sprinter, and he sold all, gave one of them away.
Oh my God.
And sold the other two. But he was a tough old man, but you know, I mean,
I've heard Mr. Stevens talk about it. Yeah. They, a lot of good stories.
Yeah. Yeah. All righty. Well, I got time's running out on us. Chris, thank you so much. It's Chris Grove. I really appreciate
my pleasure,
setting in.
My pleasure.
Do it again.
We'll wrap it up now, and we'll be on at the regular time next week.
Go Cats.
And we'll talk. beat Stinkinetti.
Yeah, right.
And we'll see you next week.
Tell me.